Hey there, welcome to the Biz Under Construction podcast. I'm Cora Lee, and this is the podcast for women business owners in the construction industry that struggle knowing how their business is doing, are working nonstop, and don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. So whether you're just starting out or you want to take your construction business to the next level, let me tell you, as a woman with 25 years in the construction industry, including 15 years as a business owner, I can help. This show is going to help you make more money, finally stop working 7 days a week, and actually be able to take a bloody vacation. So let's get to work. Hello, everybody, and welcome. Thank you for being with us. I'm really excited to be sharing Liz Vergara with you today from Vergara Homes in New York City. So I'm just going to start with her bio and then we're going to jump right in. Over the past 14 years, Liz has been helping homeowners design and renovate their upscale homes as a design build specialist. Growing up, she watched her father run his own construction company and discovered a love for construction at a young age. After starting a professional career with a prestigious construction and architecture firm in New York City, she noticed a disconnect between design and build teams on residential projects. She found that the most effective approach to renovating a home merged the design and construction phases into one cohesive process. With her experience in construction management and architectural design, she created an innovative design build process that is the foundation of Vergara Homes, design and construction. Her vision is to create attainable high-end renovations through intentional design and expert guidance from start to finish. Liz understands that every project is unique and comes with its own set of challenges. With her experience and passion for the process, she faces every challenge with a complete understanding of every aspect of the project. Her ultimate goal is for her client to live happily in their dream homes after an enjoyable and professional renovation experience. That just sounds lovely. It just sounds nice. So, Liz, welcome and thank you so much for being here. I'm excited for our conversation. Of course, yes. You and I did an IG Live like over a year. I'm going to say it's probably almost a year and a half ago now. And I learned some stuff about Vergara Homes that I was really excited about. And I'm going to share it here today too about your, one of the things we'll get into about your 3D modeling and that stuff that you do. So, we won't start there. You say in the bio that your dad had a construction company and you watched that and you fell in love with it. So was it your ultimate goal to have your own business, or did you see that need to go, okay, well, I guess I have to do this myself? What was that always a thing?
Oh, you know what? I've never been asked that. So that's kind of fun to think about now. Well, growing up, I did see my dad, who's a contractor and always around construction, ever since I was a baby. And I just kind of grew like an interest in it. But I always had a more creative part of me that really wanted to bring that side to whatever it is that I'm doing. I went to high school and majored in art, and then later on selected my elective to be interior design, which I really loved, like kind of molding all of these beautiful like settings together. And when I went to college and studied, I got my master's in sustainable interior design. After I graduated, I went to work for a construction management firm because I saw this really amazing like mentorship that that came out for a really prestigious city builder that kind of they deal with like very high profile people and high profile projects. So I kind of like dove in with the bar set really high, and it made me like learn immediately how to achieve and execute those crazy cool, like super high profile projects. And right. It made me appreciate more of like my past with like my dad and seeing him do all of it too. But it brought a really cool edge to it because it made me also see all of the inside, like the behind the scenes and like the insights into creating these wonderful, beautiful executed homes. And so after working there for a couple years, I went to work for an architectural firm, kind of bringing out more of the design side of my expertise. And I noticed at the architectural firm that when we hand over the project to be built to the contractor, that the contractor has, there's a lot of cracks that, there's no one to catch those cracks. And sometimes it causes delays. There's costs associated to that. I saw that there was that disconnect happening. And then I found a design build firm that I went to go work for 5 years. And They honestly taught me kind of how to do that the best way they could, like to merge both worlds, because it was both architectural design and the build. So not only are you doing the full design of it, you're also project managing the whole build side of it. So the person who's scratching all of those things coming through the cracks, it's you too.
Yeah.
Which made me like really understand like this is really the way to go forward with this. And after 5 years of working there, I realized I really kind of wanted to do my own thing. I'm like, I feel like I'm ready. My father's an entrepreneur too. So he like really inspired me to like get into that side, except I brought the design part of it to the table, which was really fun.
Yeah.
And then when I went out on my own, you know, I slowly built up my clientele, my projects, and it's been amazing and really fun ever since. And then eventually becoming a licensed contractor where I can truly mold both of them together is kind of like my favorite part. And so this past like couple of years that it's been truly doing both design build has been a lot of fun.
Well, you make it look like it's a lot of fun on social media. So when you move from the last design build place to do your own thing, did you just like jump full in and just say, okay, I'm going to go out and do this on my own? Was there some sort of transition stage? Or did you just like give her?
Just dive right in. No. There was definitely a transitional period. I gave plenty of notice to my job that I am wanting to do this. I want to go out on my own. They gave their blessings. And I started to gather some projects on my own as I was working full-time for this design build company. And in the evenings and weekends working on my projects separately. Until eventually, I think it was the first 6 months or the last 6 months of my old job, but my first 6 months in business, at that I started to realize, okay, I'm starting to get more and more projects. I probably should really now move on from the other one. So I gave like a 2 month heads up, which I think was plenty of time.
That's fair.
And I left my projects in the hands for someone to like take over, but the majority of them had already ended, which was nice, and went right into just being full-time me, which was very scary because obviously, you know, you kind of pray and hope that there will be continuous work coming in, and thank God that is what happened.
So how did that happen for you? Because I think, you know, there's listeners out there that are afraid to make that leap, that are really interested. And that's why I asked, like, was there a transition stage? How did you make sure those were coming? I mean, obviously you just do the work as far as, you know, getting leads, but how did you do that?
Good question. So my first project was referred over to me from a friend who had, she was in a group called, in a Facebook group actually, called Upper East Side Moms. And a lot of them are renovating or doing things that they need help with. So she saw a posting and she knew that I was going out on my own. She was actually a colleague of mine at the time, like a coworker. And she suggested, she put my name and she was like, hey, you should contact Elizabeth. She does this, this, and this. I had already established a website, and she sent my information, and they reached out. I went over, did an inquiry meeting in person, and sent them my proposal, and they accepted it. And shortly after that, I really put my heart and soul into that first project because it needed to be like my best thing that I could do since it was my first project. So that one is a very special project to me. And that client, thank God, has probably referred me over ever since her project to maybe 10 other projects.
Oh, wow.
Which is, wow. Those projects just, they only got bigger and bigger and more, obviously more revenue, more challenges, more new design and all of that. So ever since I started with that, a lot of my leads that did come in were really through referral and word of mouth, especially at first. And they continue to be that way too. I would say the best clients that I have are really through word of mouth and friends referrals. Those are the best clients that I've, at least the best projects, like in terms of what they want to do. I've also tried, I didn't try this at first, but I tried doing things like getting leads on like Angie Leads or Home or Home Advisor, House, all of those. Yeah. The only problem with those was, a lot of them were kind of the leads that come in, but they charge you for each of those leads. So it's a little expensive. I don't suggest it initially when you start. I did it like maybe 4 or 5 years in. But it is, I would say that the clientele quality, like the that came in are a little bit more limited and like almost very small baby projects, like a little too small for what we could offer at that time. So the best kinds of projects we got were all from like word of mouth referral.
I mean, that makes sense. I think that people who are going to those types of platforms to look for somebody, and the people who are also advertising on, I think are a lot of, they're not well established people who are getting a lot of business, or kind of people that are newer. So I think that there is sort of an expectation with the people who are going there to find people. So you made a comment about being creative and liking the design, because when I see the projects that you turn out, they're beautiful. Are you the one then doing the interior design? So you're not just the design of the renovation, for example, or the build, you're also doing the interior design?
So it depends on the project. There are some, so because we have so, we're very well-rounded, I guess, in terms of what we offer for our services, it depends on the type of project that clients come to us for. So we have a whole round, a whole host of well-rounded services that we offer our clients. Mm-hmm. And some come to us for a certain part of the project, like only the build or only the architectural design, or sometimes only for permits. Some of them come to us for the whole thing, like design, architectural, permits, and build. So it really depends on what they need. And we're very versatile in that way to be able to accommodate them, because sometimes they even come with their own contractor, and we just do everything up until that point, including project management of the work. And in some cases on the design side, sometimes they come with their own designer or their own decorator that wants to do all of the selections and finishes. And we purely only do the architectural, permits, and construction. So, you know, it's kind of like an a la carte menu with us. Like you can do the whole thing, you can have the full menu, or you can have just little parts of it or whatever you need.
Gotcha. So do you have a team that's doing all these things? Is it you that has to do all these things?
Both. I would say we do have a team. We have our in-house design team that does a lot of the architectural drafting. They are in all of our meetings with myself and the clients. That way the clients they get to meet our whole team. They get to be able to correspond with myself and my team. So in case we want to express anything, like get anything expedited or whatever, our team will be able to do that while I'm on the sites and while I'm checking in. Right. Because I do, while I am the founder and CEO, I have a lot of hats that I wear here too. But luckily I do have my team to fall back on for anything else that I need when I'm out and about. Because a good majority of my scope of work with my clients is also to be on the job sites. And sometimes you can't take a lot of meetings when you're on the job site. So it depends. But we do have a team, and obviously our build team, which is quite large as well, they are constantly on the sites. Each of our sites has a foreman, not only me, but also our foreman that is there to catch in any questions in the meantime while I'm hopping around to other job sites.
So are these all like your build teams, are they employees or your foreman employees? They're all employees.
They are employees. Okay. Yes.
I love that. Okay. So what made you choose to bring them on as employees as opposed to contracting it all out?
Good question. Again, we are a little versatile with that. So in some projects where we work with the contractor that has been hired to do the job, I project manage and I come and see the job. So in those cases, I have my own separate contract with my clients. Right. So I go direct with my clients and the contractor goes direct with them. In our full menu option where we do everything, our employed team, that is our build team, in those cases, they are internal with us. So they are part of our overhead and everything. And the reason I decided to do that is because we have so many job sites happening at the same time at different stages that it's a little bit more difficult for me to able to manage them if I know that they are contracted out on a per project basis, because I'm kind of they're at my disposal at their available times, not when we need them. And because we like to be the most efficient for our clients, the faster we get things done, the more with quality, the better the project turns out, the more affordable it turns out, and the better we're able to kind of control the execution of it, which we really, really want the clients to appreciate. And that's why we have our internal team, because I can be able to call my foreman Sergio and say, hey, can you just quickly grab like 3 2x4s and bring it over to this job site, blah, 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 whatever it is. And he'll go and run and do that. If the super hops into an apartment that we're renovating for a question or two and I'm not there, he's there to answer the questions. He knows every bit of of what's going on in the project at every phase. Same thing on our other job sites. We have the dedicated foremans to do that.
I think that that's great. And so is that all on so just carpentry then type of work, framing, carpentry, obviously demo, those kinds of things, or maybe not obviously demo.
No, demo too, yes.
Okay. And so your trade, so plumbing, electrical, HVAC, are those subbed out then? Or is that also doing some of that in-house?
Good question. Mixture of both. We have we by New York City law in here, we have to use our licensed subcontractors for the electrician and the plumbers. So we do have to have them do the dedicated work for whatever it is that we need in their scope. Everything else is internal with us, that we do. Carpentry, tiling, wood floors, demolition, all of that. But the electrical and the plumbing is subbed out. I do have, though, a couple of our employees that are very familiar and have done apprenticeships with electricians and plumbers. So luckily, in case, God forbid, there's ever a leak or something happens, they are there to kind of go and like do what we need to do until we get the
Emergency.
plumber. Emergency, exactly. Now, I'm
Yes.
not technically allowed to have them do the rest of the work, but
Right.
in those cases, they do come in and do that.
Oh, that's good. And so how many people are on your team in total?
At the moment, we have 14
Wow.
people.
14 people on staff. That's pretty good. And I think that that's a great way to go if you can swing it. So how did you, I'm also assuming that you started out maybe not with a team, or did you like right from the beginning get a partner and say, okay, we're going to do this and build that way? Or did it become obvious as you were doing it, like you needed more control over schedules and now I need to bring in my own team? How did you start out?
Good question. So I definitely did not start out with a team at all. My first 5 years in business was just me, myself, and I. And obviously, we hadn't become a full licensed contractor at that time yet. But once I did, and that's kind of when the business started to just really go, whoo, we got a lot of work to do. A lot. That's when I know I needed a team. I would say like by the 5th year, I hired my in-house design team. Who is because we were constantly getting design. Like I would say 95% of our work is design at that point. Once we became a GC and it was design build, then we needed to start building the build team. Luckily, at that point, before that point happened, I already hired my in-house foreman who's still with us.
Nice.
And I had worked with him in the past, like I think 8 years before that, on another project, and he was the foreman for a GC at that time, who is they're no longer with. And then he was kind of just floating around. So by the time I needed someone and I reached out to him, he was available, which was great.
Nice. Yeah.
And so we brought him on. And then as more projects started coming in and coming on it, like into our scope of work, I started to bring on a couple more, carpenter laborers too. And then finally, when we knew we had like a whole, like these projects usually run anywhere between a range of 3 months to like a year out, we knew we need to have like a really set team in place. So at that point, like I said, my father, he's been in construction forever. He is a contractor, and I ended up merging with him and his team.
Oh,
So
okay.
he has had he's had his team for over 10 years now, the same kind of group and team. So they've actually known me for a very long time too, because they've known me since I was a kid
Wow, yeah.
or in my 20s.
Yeah, that's a kid.
And yeah, there you go, kid. So they luckily they I think my dad at that point had started to lessen his taking on of like new projects so that he
Yeah.
can really help me build mine. My like the business and the whole thing and merged together. So he kind of we like migrated everyone together to become the internal team. And so now my dad is also one of the foremen and project managers for some of the
Okay.
projects, along with my other foreman too. So we are able to take on a variety of projects at the same time at different stages.
So that's what I was going to ask you. How many projects is ideal for you to have going at one time?
Good question. Do you so does that is that just build projects or is that build and design?
The whole enchilada. If somebody is getting like full service from you, what is, and obviously this is what I'm thinking is that it'd be ideally spaced out. So not everybody going through at the same schedule, same pace. But if you were to have perfect, where it kind of blends next phase of the work for each one, what's ideal load for you, workload?
So I'll give you an example. At the moment, we are handling and still have capacity to take on. We've got 4 full enchilada projects at the same time in progress right now.
Right.
And they're a little bit at different stages, but 1, 2, 3 of them are in construction. One of them is starting construction literally today.
Oh, okay.
Today. We started this morning. And then separately, we have 5 in design, but we are only project managing. We're not building. That's right. A separate builder, but we come in and project manage throughout the week.
Okay.
So I would say overall, we're handling 10 right now at capacity, and we could probably take on an additional 2 until the next 3 months, when we can probably take on a couple more because we'll be wrapping up with another 2 projects.
Right. And so are most of your projects renos?
Yes, actually, they all are renos. I think there's only, 90% of them are renos. There's only like 1 or 2 that are like extensions or additions to homes, but most of them are renos. And there's actually 1 commercial project that we are starting.
Oh, interesting. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, into commercial now.
Yeah, so how did that happen?
One of my employees, he had someone inquiry with him on doing commercial. So he came to me, he was like, hey, can we take this project on? We looked at it, we went to see the site, we had an inquiry call with the client to see what they did, and we let them know, you know, our bread and butter is really home residential renovations, but we're happy to do this if you're okay with giving us a little bit of grace on understanding how commercial works and how you want us to do this. And obviously we have our architect of record to give us all of the code compliances for everything.
Right.
But that's kind of how it got brought on. And then we did the full interior design, all the selections, everything for that project. And that's actually the one that we started renovation, construction with today.
Oh, okay. Very cool. And so is that something you want to pursue, or is it just something that fell in your lap and you thought, oh, we'll do this? Is that something you want to grow into a little bit more?
We're definitely open to it. I'd like to see if any more inquiries do come in for it. We're very open to doing it now that I've kind of like hopped into it. At first I was a little nervous because I'm not an expert in it per se.
Yeah.
I didn't have the best confidence with like being able to say, yeah, we could do it. Of course. But now that I've gone into it and we're working with it all, it's actually very easy to transition to. It's honestly a little bit more simple in terms of the design selections and the actual renovation of it, versus I would say the residential is very custom, so it's very particular, so it's that's why I would say it's a little bit more complex. It's kind of like hopping into an easier route, which I'm cool with too.
that's good. And so do you also do new construction? Because I saw on your website that you had some designs anyway for new home builds. Do you want to do new home builds?
We would love to. The only thing with new builds is we definitely have the full capacity and the knowledge to do a new build design. The construction though, we it's a different class of a contractor that you need to be able to have your license on it to do that. So So New York City has like a different level of construction contractor that you have to have. So basically, if we were to go in to pull a permit for a renovation, easy peasy. But if we had to go in to pull a permit for a new build, we don't have the endorsements to be able to do that on the DOB Now system. It's all systemized, so it's very specific. So we would need to have a different contractor who has that specific licensed endorsement to be able to pull the permits for that. And they would be the ones that need to do the actual physical work of the shell of the house, while we can do all of the interior part. So yes, we do, but within certain parameters, I'll say.
So is that an endorsement that you're looking to get, or is it just something you'd be happy to? Yeah, you're looking to get that. That's the next thing.
Oh, that is in a work in progress. Yes. Although it takes quite a while to do it. There's years of experience you need to show. There's a lot of bureaucracy, I'll say, to get to that point and be able to have that. It's tough. But that is in the works, 100%.
Cool, very good. So I know that I happened to see that you were featured on Lifestyle Today, the Lifestyle Today show, back in December, I do believe. Can you share with us about that? And then I think there's like other things that I've been seeing that you've been featured on too. So tell us more about where you've been featured and where we can find all of the articles and things about you.
Yes. For Christmas, we got asked to come on for a little clip with on the Today Show, the Lifestyle Today Show, just to kind of like talk about decorating and also hosting for the holidays, which was like a more fun side of that. So it was really fun to do that. We got to just kind of like showcase a cute little like napkin presentation on how to make it look like a Christmas tree. It was very cute. And then just like do a little bit of a tablescape and to just kind of get the like get to know us a little bit on the fun side of it and decor. And prior to that, we were featured on Bloom TV, and that was like a fun feature because they got to talk about us, what we do, feature some of our projects, what we do behind the scenes, and was really fun. But more recently, we've been mentioned in a bunch of articles, and we just got our first mention in Architectural Digest last week, which was really fun. And we'll
Congratulations. That's like
thank
big
you.
league.
That's big.
I remember I was
I
9 years old and the Architectural Digest was the magazine that I would go to the library because back in the old days we didn't have like online anything. I'd go to the library and I'd take out the Architectural Digest and I'd flip through those. So if you made it in Architectural Digest, that's pretty cool.
remember. Thank you. It was very exciting. I was like when it came out, because they don't tell you when it's coming out. But when it did come out, I was my PR team sent me the link and I read it. I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. I sent it to my mom and then I was like, oh my gosh, I gotta go to work. But it was really exciting. And then some of the other mentions we've been on over the past like I'd say 3, 4, 5 months. Has been places like Wall Street Journal, Homes and Gardens, Beautiful Home. Most of them are like online editorials, so I'm happy to send links if you guys want to see them. We've got a bunch of them. And Forbes we were on, but all really cute and fun mentions. I know we also have an upcoming shoot this summer to potentially have an actual feature in Architectural Digest, like the editorial magazine. So that's going to be a really fun one too. But yeah, lots going on. We're trying to keep up with social media just to have everyone know, keep in the know behind the scenes on what we're doing and you know where we're being featured.
Well, congratulations on that success because that's really cool. So how did you get featured in those things? How does that work?
Good question. So I work with my PR team. They're not in-house. They are their own entity and they're amazing. So I'm happy to refer anybody over who wants an amazing PR team. They're the ones to go to. My girl Eliza has some really great insights on people who can get us into like your realm of your expertise. So for us, obviously it's interior design, build, all of that. So she has a lot of connections that she knows to be able to get articles inquiried to you. And then they ask if you are interested in making a comment for some of those things, which we always are. So we pitch it back to them with usually images of finished projects or images of related things like that. And when the editor reads it and they if they're interested in putting it for us, they contact us and let us know, okay, we're going to run with it. And that's how they've been doing it. So she always keeps me in the know every time we have an article that does get featured and comes out. But they're a great team. So I definitely recommend if you are at that point where you're ready to share a lot of finished projects and also have the budget to be able to invest into a PR team, highly recommend it and happy to share their contact info too.
So can I ask you, and if you don't want to answer this question, we can just take it out. At what revenue point were you when you were able to invest in that?
So I was definitely in the seven figure revenue point when I hopped into that point to invest into PR. Like, because it's different than investing into like ads or like Google, Facebook ads, all of that. It's a different space, but it is really worth it if you can afford it. Like it's I think it's always important to invest in yourself again, reinvest in yourself in the business and however you're growing, whether it is getting knowledge or whether it's getting help to kind of advance where you're not an expert. And I can 100% say I'm not the most I'm not the most well-knowledged in terms of ads or that PR space of it, but this is where I bring in the experts to help. So once I hit the seven-figure area, I started investing into that point.
Nice. Thank you for sharing that. So now I'm going to ask you about one of the services you and I spoke about before, which I thought was really cool, and you actually showed me a clip of the time that we did the IG Live, was the service that you provide for your clients of 3D virtual plans, or, you know, where you can actually put on the virtual goggles and it's like you're in the space. So is that something you're still doing?
That is something we are still doing. Our clients love it. Every time we have a project that we do, the full enchilada, where we go from scratch on design and then going into the build, we put that into 3D because it's the best way for our clients to really be able to immerse themselves into what they've designed and what is going to be built before we actually build it. It's also a really great way for them to experience and see like the space before we build it. So that way, when we get to that point, they'll be able to say, you know what, I know we drew it out this way in plan, but I kind of want to shift this over here, or maybe we consider doing this here or there. It's a great time to catch that ahead of time before we actually build it. Not only does it save costs, it also saves time and efficiency. So we do it on all of every project where we have the whole design part included in our scope. We do it every time.
Yeah, because I've seen that and it looks really cool. And one thing that I like is just, like you said, it just gives them that opportunity to see what it is that they think they want and make the decisions before it's too late. Like, okay, all of a sudden you don't have to say, oh, actually, I don't really want that wall there, or really don't want my stove there, or whatever it happens to be. Like, those are things that you can make ahead of time. Like, those are decisions and changes. I love that. And so how is that evolving for you? Like, is it, are you having people come to you to say, do this specifically? I don't hear a lot of other architects or designers using it. Maybe they are, maybe they just don't talk about it. I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of it.
You know what? That's actually a good point. I haven't seen too many either offer it like that. We don't get specifically asked to, I mean, I'd say like here or there, we get a sprinkle of some clients just come to us for pure 3D renderings.
Yeah.
But the majority of it is when we're doing the full design of it, because, but not really inquiries on just that one thing to do. I would say the majority of the people who do ask us to do only the 3D renderings for its purpose are more for like conceptual, I'd say, like more just the conceptual side of it. And maybe even like if we're building like a community of homes or something like that, and it's just got to be conceptualized for like a resale kind of thing, or some of those are actually like developers really, versus like clientele who are building a custom home or something like that. So it's kind of like for us, like the cherry on top of the sundae or whatever. Because for us, the clients were actually building it, so they get to see it as included in their scope.
I think that's actually the project you showed me was a multi-family or multi-unit complex, I think is the one that you showed me. So that makes sense. So for what's the word? What's that?
Oh, like for a developer or something.
Yeah, for like just the concept and how it can work, and, you know, giving that opportunity to people for sales purposes or otherwise. So I think it's very cool. And I think other than that, is there anything that you wanted to share with us? Things you have going on or anything else that we need to know about Vergara Homes and what you're up to?
Aside from just all the projects that we have going on a regular basis, we're always just exploring new ways to try to like keep up with new ways to do like the design presentations for our clients. We're very much about service to our clients. So if there's any way to keep them more involved or in the know, or kind of like the wow factor in terms of how to present something like a design or even during construction, if we are doing work and we find like a few extra inches of things here or there, like we take it, like we don't kind of like just do what's there. Like we really like to mold ourselves to have very happy clients. So that's kind of like our main goal. We want our clients to be super happy and like appreciate that we're our number one goal is to service them for their luxury homes.
Nice. And so you're just in New York City proper, or do you work in outlying areas? Like, what is your region of that you work in?
The majority of our projects are in New York City, Manhattan, but we do have a couple of projects out in Queens, Brooklyn, Staten Island, even Long Island. We have a couple up in Connecticut as well, and New Jersey. So kind of like the tri-state area.
Okay.
But I would say the majority of our projects is Manhattan.
Nice. All right. Well, Liz, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate learning more about what you do and sharing your story. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you, Coralie. I'm always happy to come on and say hello. Keep you guys updated.
Thank you. And we will you take care and have yourself a good day.
Sounds good. Thanks, Coralie.